It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the fantasy football champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Brees throwing back in the end zone, leaping grab, touchdown!
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright are the fantasy football champs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs. We got 2 hours of news, strategy, and advice for you as we're heading into Week 7. I'm Bill Enright. With me is Todd DeVries, as always. Todd, it was another wacky and crazy Week 6 in the NFL. We had some overtime games, some last-second finishes, and that's where we're going to start today's show with the Patriots and the Saints. How about that last play of the game? Tom Brady connects with Kembrell Tompkins.
How about it, Bill? It was one for the ages. It was a classic day, as everyone on this channel knows, in the day of Boston sports, Bill. I mean, you had the Patriots with a historic comeback against an undefeated team, you know, in the middle of the season. Nice win. And then back-to-back with a comeback victory for the Red Sox later in the evening. So pretty good day if you're a Boston sports fan.
And after that Patriots comeback win, I guess, you know, I don't follow baseball, but from what I hear, that David Ortiz grand slam or whatever it was pretty impressive as well.
or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to that.
Yeah,
was it a grand slam or was it a home run?
It was a grand slam.
I guess they're the same thing, right?
In the eighth, all right. They were down five to one in the bottom of the eighth. He hits a grand slam, big poppy, to tie it at five, and then they got the game winning hit on the bottom of the ninth.
I'm sorry, Red Sox fans, but I really could care less about baseball.
I'm not a baseball fan either, but you have to admit, Bill, it's kind of strange to have two pretty classic endings come within a couple hours of each other.
Good day to be a fan from Boston, that's for sure.
Yes, it was. And, you know, Kevin Collins, our esteemed producer, are you in the house?
Yes, I am.
All right. I want to get some intake from you from this game, because there's a lot to talk about, this Patriots-Saints game.
There certainly is.
And first of all, can you talk about, because the media, the national media, which is very hard to trust in these situations, Kevin, is making a big stink about the stadium just emptying after Tom Brady's interception.
Rightfully so. It was empty. I can attest to that.
All right. So I know that you guys heard a little bit of the previous show, and you know you guys were talking about it there. I'm sure that was a big theme
of the show. Throughout the day, yep.
So what's the general consensus here from the fans calling in to the shows regarding this topic?
Most of our fans that call in and write in the shows aren't able to attend the games. We get most of our listeners are from, I'll say, out of the New England region.
Right, that makes sense.
So a lot of them are calling in kind of chastising and yelling at the fans that did leave. I got to be honest with you. After they went for it on fourth down, I would have stayed if I was in the stands. But it was the Brady pick on that kind of Hail Mary ball to Julian Edelman in double coverage. After that, I would have been tempted to leave, take my ball.
Why?
And
see,
let me answer you why first. In my brain, I'm looking at the clock, and you're north of the 2-minute warning with one timeout left.
Yeah.
Right. So my brain would say, okay, they're going to run a play. The Patriots are going to call a timeout. They're going to run another play. And then it's going to be the 2-minute warning. So it's going to be third down and something.
That's exactly what happened.
It's going to be third down and something.
Right.
And they'll probably run it again, and it ended up Breeze being like a bootleg. They're going to run 40 seconds off the play clock down to about a minute 20.
Yep.
Call a timeout. And then by the time you punt, the Patriots are going to get the ball with like a minute 5, a minute 10, probably 80 yards away.
All right. So let me stop you right there.
That's what I was thinking.
Right.
That's exactly what happened.
I know.
So why would you – you have Tom Brady. So why would you think that the game's over?
So I would have – what I'm saying is I would have, and my seats used to be up where I used to go to the games up in the 300 level, I would have started walking down at least.
But
that's just me, though.
All right, listen, I would love to get a Patriot fan's reaction that was at the game and maybe either left early or stayed in the seats. The number here, 855-728-7500, 855-PASS-500. Kevin, you would have got up and left your seats to do what?
To at least start going down the ramps. I mean, I'm still watching the game.
All right.
You know what I mean?
But I
wouldn't have just walked. If I was close to an exit or in the expensive seats where I could, get on an elevator and leave, I wouldn't have just got out that quick. No.
I just never understood the thought process to get in the car 2 minutes earlier.
No.
That's not going to help you beat traffic.
It was one of those things where, normally when a comeback kind of starts, you'll see people kind of that were like headed for the exits that come running back.
Right.
You know what I mean? They may be in different seats than when they started, or they're kind of against the railing, kind of. With no timeouts left, that drive, that, like, minute drive in real actual time took, like, no more than, like, two and a half minutes.
Right.
So you didn't have time to get back in. So from that perspective, it was kind of cool because those people that left, that gave up hope completely, just sort of paid.
Yeah,
for
because
it.
The comebacks you're referring to, Kevin, are when you're down 20.
Exactly. Like
this
they had that.
That's why you shouldn't leave the stadium. You weren't down 20. You were down.
Yeah, like when, it's like when they had. It was last year, or the year before, they had that epic comeback. They were down like 34-31-3 against the 49ers.
Right.
And they came back and tied it. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. That took in real time, like all probably like a half hour, 45 minutes. Exactly.
Right. Sure. Right.
Whereas, like, this one, it just came together so quick that, like, you just didn't have time.
Now, Todd, I know you had a problem with the play-by-play announcers because they were saying the game was over, too.
All right, my biggest pet peeve watching a football game are when the announcers they can't do math. They can't do simple math about the end of the game or the end of a half. Troy Aikman and I think it was Tom Brenneman were doing the game because Joe Buck was doing baseball. When they threw the pick, Kevin, on cue, when he threw the pick with 2:20 or whatever, 2 minutes, 24 seconds left, whatever it was, they basically said the game is over. And I'm looking at the little bar, and I see that the Patriots have a timeout, and I know they're going to get the two-minute warning. And in my head, in about 4 seconds, Kevin, I'm doing the math like you did. I'm like, well, Patriots are going to get the ball back with about 1:10 left.
Yeah, I mean, I'm constantly on the sideline. It's kind of like part of my job, like a little bit of what I do. I can't tell you all of what I do, but it's just sort of like managing and figuring out, like, when the TV timeouts are coming, how many timeouts the team has, like all this, that, and the other thing. And so I knew in my mind, even after the Brady pick, that they were going to have a chance to at least get their hands on the ball. But, like, I was sort of thinking it was going to be, I'll admit, can we, try to hurry up, get the ball around midfield, maybe to the Saints, 40, 35 at most, and have, maybe a crack at the end zone at the end?
Sure.
That's what I was thinking, best case scenario. To get the ball inside the 20 and have not one, but, potentially another crack at it if Kembrell didn't catch that ball was just, I don't know whether it's, insanely bad on the Saints defense or insanely good on Tom Brady. I couldn't tell you. You could argue they would have even scored quicker. They could have scored in about 45 seconds if Edelman holds on to that ball when he gets drilled in the chest down about the half-yard line. Did you see that one, Bill?
Yep.
I mean, there was two balls down there. The first one on like a little in-cut, about a 25-yard in-cut, skipped, and he didn't really have a great chance at that one. But they literally ran the same play again because I think they liked the look. And he went down to a knee sliding, but the ball hit him right in the chest.
Yeah.
And, if he hangs on to that, all of a sudden – he either slides into the end zone or he's down at like the 1 foot line and you still got 30 seconds left. So to move the ball 70 yards in literally like less than a minute with no timeouts left is just something you don't see very often.
I don't know. I just think you got the greatest quarterback of this generation. You got over a minute. It's not like you had, 30 seconds to go 70 yards. I don't know. I was sitting there awaiting. I thought they had a good shot. I thought they'd have a shot kind of like you said, Kev. I thought they were going to get down to like the 35 or 40 and take a few shots.
I thought they'd try to manage what they had and at least give themselves at bare minimum a couple wings at it, from 30, 40, 50 yards out.
But I just don't – so bringing it back full circle, I don't understand why the announcers are – the announcer's job is to keep people tuned into their channel. So I don't know why they're discounting the Patriots from coming back. It drives me insane. And then, they were already starting to talk about the baseball game. They were talking about, don't forget tonight on Fox, the big baseball game. And I'm just like, what? The game's not over here. It drove me nuts. And then people are leaving the stands. I don't get it. You only get 8 home games a year, not including the playoffs or preseason, right? Even if you go to all the games, don't you just want to,
be there?
Who cares about the traffic on those days?
That's what I don't get. Like, you're even
– It's not like baseball, Bill. If it's baseball and there's, 9,000 home games a year – and it's the middle of July, and it's home game, number 76 out of whatever. and you want to go home early, you're like, I get that. But this is football. There's only 8 home games a year. What are you doing?
If you're that concerned about beating the traffic, then leave at halftime.
Is that the reason? Like, if you're down by 50, you know, or something, if you're down huge, you know, I guess I can see that. But yeah. I just don't get it. It's a huge game. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't personally get it either. And then, of course, Kevin, there was the very talked about game-winning, what do I want to say, play-by-play call. Yep. Was it the Patriots broadcast?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so this, I'm sure everyone has heard it by now. I was not tuned in to the radio broadcast because I was listening to it. I was watching the game on TV.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you were around, the only people that tune into it are in their cars.
Right.
Are stuck.
That being said, it's
which
getting
quite a few, actually, this week.
Yeah, right. This week, they're right.
Going
that being said,
the,
the catch is being played on SportsCenter and ESPN and NFL Network with the radio call. And, Kevin, I believe you have that ready for us.
Brady's in the gun. Bolden to his left. He's got the Who Man on the right wing with Dobson to the right. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He caught it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
Brady's back! That's your quarterback! Pull off the building! Unicorns! Show ponies! Where's the beef? Boy, when you thought you'd seen it all, when it's total despair, 14 years in the league, this situation after situation he's been through, and to elevate a rookie, my God.
So that was the game-winning call by where did the fans hear that, Kevin?
98.5 The Sports Hub.
And who were
that
the
is that is one Scott Zolak, former Patriots backup quarterback.
Okay, and who was the play-by-play guy?
Bob Soshi is the new play-by-play voice of the Patriots this year. This is his fourth or fifth game.
Oh,
fifth.
Okay.
Wait, actually, what are we? Are we 5-1? That was the sixth game.
Congratulations to Bob on the job. Job well done. But Zolak's call, I have a little bit of a problem with, and I know everyone up there in Patriots land and every Patriot fan is celebrating the play, but are you really happy about this play-by-play call? Like, is that really how you want this epic comeback and game-winning touchdown catch to be remembered by show ponies, unicorns, and where's the beef? I have no idea what any of that means. Now, Todd, you and I were kind of let in on a little bit of an inside joke where a couple of years ago, I believe someone from the radio station challenged Mike Zolak to get as many kind of hidden words in to a broadcast or one of his shows.
Maybe
as he
it was
could.
A dare. It could have been a dare.
I think it was a dare. A couple of years ago, it was a dare that he had to say show ponies and unicorns. And I don't know. It was some kind of inside joke dating back to 3 or 4 years ago. How that was relevant for this play, I have no idea. But to me, it just sounds like he's having like a Tourette's moment and just saying a bunch of random words, really, really exciting.
You could kind of argue that it, you know, kind of overshadows the play a little bit.
Okay.
Which is not a good thing, right? From a national perspective, you know, you hear the call, and what's your first reaction, Bill? First of all, I was like, did he just say, where's the beef?
Yeah.
I was like, what? What was that?
That's like a reference from 20 years ago.
What's he talking about? And, you know, it's going to get a lot of play everywhere all season long now, you know, in this Twitter age, Bill, where everything goes viral. I mean, it went viral minutes after he said the words, you know. And I don't know.
Where's
I guess
beef?
If you're in on the inside joke up in New England, then I guess, you know, you get it right away or whatever.
Right.
It just seems like, you know, you remember the classic plays in sports history, and you remember the calls. Like when you envision, you know, the I don't want to compare it to the USA hockey win over Russia, but you remember Al Michaels' call right away.
Of course,
you know? Vin Scully, the big call when Kirk Gibson hit a home run back in. No, you don't follow baseball, Bill, but the huge home run. I don't believe what I just saw. You know, there's certain moments that you remember the play visually, and then in your brain you remember the words you heard. You know, for the play. And it's a shame if this is what people are going to remember, show ponies and
You know, unicorns. Where's the beef?
Unicorns. Just, what the hell is a unicorn? I didn't understand it. I guess, sometimes if you're on the outside of an inside joke, it's not that entertaining. But if you're
where's
on the inside,
the
if you're on the inside of the inside joke, then where's the beef? I'm sure would be pretty hilarious if you were listening to the play on the call. You know, he started off that little call that he did, that little rant there, with Tom Brady's back. Kevin, do you have that clip again?
Yeah, hang on.
Play that again. I don't understand why he would say that either.
Yeah, where'd he go?
Was he gone last week?
Brady's back! That's your quarterback!
Yeah, Brady's back?
I don't know where he left.
They're four and one.
When I heard the call, I was down on the field, and I was looking over my left shoulder, my right shoulder. I was like, is that like an imposter dressed as Tom Brady? Where'd he go? Did he come back?
Bill,
it'd be one thing if like it was the year after Brady's injury.
Right.
He missed the season, and it's the season opener.
And
you know,
boom, that play happens.
Yeah, and you're like, yeah, Brady's back.
Brady's back.
But I didn't know what he was talking about.
They were 4-1 heading into the game, and Brady's playing with a bunch of rookies and Julian Edelman and no Rob Gronkowski. And if anything, Brady's the only thing that's holding this team together, and he's back because of this game-winning touchdown play?
Unicorns! Show ponies!
Are you nuts? Show ponies and unicorns?
You know what, Bill, I'll give him a pass on the Brady's back part because, you know, heat of the moment, excited. Maybe you say something weird like that, but
no, you say there he is. That's Brady. That's the MVP of this team. That's why we have three Super Bowl rings in the last decade. That's why we've been to six championships. That's what you say. You don't say Brady's back. He never went anywhere. I'm not giving him a pass on that one. I'll give him a pass on the inside joke, the show ponies and the unicorns and the Brady's and the what else did he say? Where's the beef? But Brady's back. I don't know why that would ever come up.
So you're going to give him a pass on the other stuff?
Well, apparently that's some kind of entertaining, humorous inside joke up in the New England area.
Where's the beef?
That non-Patriot fans don't understand, but it's too bad because now it's a nationally televised highlight with that play call. You know, that's the problem with inside jokes.
Do you think he'll get like a new like Wendy's deal? Like where, you know, I think that's their slogan or whatever, where's the beef or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, that was the Wendy's.
Yeah, maybe he'll get like a hamburger endorsement deal.
I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I'm crazy and ridiculous on the show just to be crazy and ridiculous.
Speaking of hamburgers, I just want a hamburger, by the way.
You just want
a hamburger?
You
want to hear this exciting story? While we were in our open, I just won a hamburger.
How?
I bet that the Red Sox game was going to start at like 4:07, and one of the guys that's in the studio was incessant that it was going to start after 4:30. He's like, no way this thing starts before 4:30, blah, blah, blah. And sure enough, we're literally in the open talking Patriots Saints, and I look up, and Justin Verlander's delivering the first pitch and visions of hamburgers. And all I had on my mind was, where's the beef?
Interesting.
That was a great story.
That's about as good of an inside joke as...
Where's the beef?
Unicorns and show ponies.
Well, it has to do with beef.
I guess. I don't know.
Where's the beef?
There just could have been so much better things that we could have went with that play-by-play call. And I feel bad for the play-by-play guy. I mean, that's an epic play call, and he just got stomped out. Zolak just ran him over with a bulldozer.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, it started off great. Play from the beginning, Kev. It started off great. Brady steps back, looking for Kemba.
Brady's in the gun. Bolden to his left. He's got the Who man on the right wing with Dobson to the right. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He's got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
And then it goes
Kenbrell Tompkins!
And then it just goes out of control. He says Kenbrell, and then Zolak dumps in.
In the middle. I think, you know, and this is just an analysis, not an opinion, but the a couple of people that were, you know, called in the shows earlier today were saying, like, literally, they were listening to the game, and they're trying to figure out, you know, there are so many things that can happen, guys. There can be a flag. There can be a play that looks like a catch but his toe's out of bounds.
Yep.
There's a lot of things that can happen, and when you don't have the privilege of seeing what's going on, and
that's
you're
right.
literally depending on this play-by-play guy, Bob Soshi,
yep.
to paint the picture for you, and you're trying to listen to him, and all you can hear is, he got it. And you, like, a lot of people were saying they couldn't tell what the hell was going on. And as a listener in your car, that's going to be a little bit frustrating.
That's the thing about being on radio. You have to remember that you're trying to bring the game
visually into a car
that are only listening, that are basically blind.
Yeah, you're painting the picture for those people who can't see this.
There's another part of that. I don't know if you agree with this part or not. Cause I do agree. You got to paint the picture. You got to say no flags, both feet in. It's definitely a touchdown, whatever. But once you've got that out, let it breathe for a second.
Yeah, let the fans come in.
You can hear the crowd. You can actually kind of vaguely over the yelling hear the musket men. You can hear their muskets kind of going off in the background.
Right.
You know, usually get some cool, we call it like ambient or natural sound.
The best announcers. Now, on television, it's much easier to do, obviously. But when you have a big touchdown, again, a home game at a college football venue or a pro venue, huge touchdown, that you get the call, and then you get a 5 or 6 seconds of just silence, and you pan the crowd, and you hear it, and it gets you pumped up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's harder to do on radio, but we got none of that with this call. I mean, none of that at all. Just a lot of talking.
A lot of excitement. A lot of excitement. And
sure was a hell of a game, though.
Yeah, it was. I mean, hey, Kevin, let's go back to last week where Todd and I both correctly predicted the Patriots would win. What happened there?
Yeah, you guys were right. I was wrong. And I was actually thinking about it, guys, as the game started to unfold in front of me, the score being Saints 24, Patriots 23. We had that magical talk, and I was kind of...
What's the number?
Yeah, and I was consistent with saying if the Saints score 24 or more, that I don't think that the Patriots will be able to keep up in a shootout. And it almost bared fruit there until that last minute. But yeah, I was wrong.
I sent you a tweet over the weekend.
Yeah.
Or after that, right after that.
No, I was thinking in my head, I was like, man, 24-23 final would be, you know, pretty epic for my analysis of this game. But I was rooting, you know, hope against hope that they would come back and pull it off and make me wrong.
Yeah. You know, Drew Brees sent packing. Jimmy Graham catchless. We're going to get into our champs and chumps a little bit later. But how about you have to give credit to Coach Bill Belichick and Aqib Talib for shutting down Jimmy Graham, who heading into this game was leading the NFL in touchdowns. Held without a catch, pretty impressive.
He was held without a catch. Marquise Colston, one catch.
Oh, terrible.
You know, defense played pretty well. Do you fault the Saints? Okay, after the Saints stopped the Patriots on the fourth down, right, the first time?
Right.
The Saints
before
got the ball
the interception?
Out. No, before the interception.
Okay.
When the Saints wound up kicking the field goal,
right,
they threw it on third down. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that play call. They threw an incomplete pass to Colston, I believe.
Right.
Which set up the field goal. I mean, they were already in field goal range. I guess they were just trying to end the game. But, I mean, do you have any problem with that? Because basically that came back to haunt them big time. Because it cost them, you know, if they just ran up the middle or whatever, then the Patriots would have had to have used one of their timeouts at the time.
Yes, maybe, but what about if they converted on that play and the Patriots would have never gotten the ball back?
That's what I'm saying. So you don't have a problem with that?
No, I don't. I don't mind playing.
It was really good coverage by Dennard on Colston, I think, on that play. And if you're the Saints and you get a little one-on-one down the sideline there, I think you like your matchup with Colston on Dennard.
Yeah, it was 3rd and 7 from the 21. It was interesting.
I remember the play well. I had a good seat for it, and he threw just kind of a little, almost like a little fade jump ball, and Drew Brees just didn't get it out there far enough. It was a little bit of an underthrow where Dennard could kind of get his hands on it and bat it directly down. It was a good play.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I never mind playing to win. It's when you play it safe, that's kind of almost when I have a little bit of a problem.
Yes.
What did you guys think about, flash forward, they go up 27-23.
Yep.
Coming out of the two-minute warning, you get a 3rd and 7. What'd you think about the naked boot there with Brees? I kind of liked it instead of just running it into the line.
I like the play call because it's a deception
and,
play.
And you know what? You put the game and the ball in the hands of arguably your best player and a veteran quarterback who you trust. And if it's there, it's there. And if it's not, you know he's going to stay in bounds and keep the clock running.
Yeah, I thought that's a good play call. I mean,
I thought it was cool. I give them a lot of credit instead of just running your tailback straight into the line for like a 6-inch gain, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, 3rd and 7, you're not going to get it up the middle. A bootleg, you know, you might catch him off guard and break a big one, you know, and then slide for the first down in the game.
Yeah, we saw, I believe, in that Dallas game, Peyton Manning run the naked boot and get a touchdown out of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, give a credit to Chandler Jones for the Patriots. You know, Bill, the pride of Syracuse. I know Bill likes that.
Chandler Jones
stayed home and got himself a sack on it.
A nice play, too.
Shoestring tackle, yep.
Not bad.
Interesting game. I mean, you know, we saw Austin Collie enter the game. How about that?
Yeah, you know, to me, Austin Collie's not going to have much of an impact.
I know, but it's just Amendola's down again.
Dobson got a lot of targets. I think he was targeting the most out of any Patriots receiver.
Huh.
He also had his numbers would have looked a little better. He got called. He caught like a 40-yard bomb, but he got called for offensive pass interference too.
Yeah,
which
I saw
was a tough. It was a tough break. It was, I think, a good call, but it's certainly we've seen that call go the other way, and we've seen no calls in that situation. But being a rookie, he's not really gonna win that call.
Edelman had 11 targets. Dobson had 10. So, pretty interesting to see.
And then Aaron. We had a Ridley sighting.
We had two Ridley sightings in the end zone. How about it?
Out of nowhere, Ridley, 20 carries, 96 yards, 2 scores, and he catches the ball for 14 yards, too.
And, you know, to think that he was injured last week, held out of the game against in week 5, and then before that was averaging, I don't know, 30, 40 yards a game. And then all of a sudden he breaks out against the Saints for 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. Very impressive. Shows a lot of perseverance that, you know, LeGarrette Blount and Brandon Bolden were getting a little bit more action than he was. But glad to see him come through the injury and the adversity of having to split carries.
So, you know, the game's over. The Patriots are sitting pretty at 5-1.
Yeah, they are.
They got the Jets coming up this week. And it's, man, they're going to play they'll be done with the Jets after this week, Bill.
Yeah, thank God. You know, who wants to keep talking about the Jets? Let's just put them to rest for the season because, you know, get them out of the way. I'm done with them already.
So,
Geno Smith tricked us all by beating the Falcons, who are not a very good football team this year, much to my surprise. But then he lost to the Steelers. So the Jets are who we thought they were, which is not a good team.
No, they're gonna be up and down, and you know, not worried about them at all. And I think, you know, we all know where this is headed.
And we let him off the hook.
That scared me.
That was
startled me.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Yeah, that's right.
Speaking of crowning, Bill, the Patriots. We always like to reference our Super Bowl predictions, right, Bill?
Yeah.
Patriots, my Super Bowl champion for this year. And your old Super Bowl pick, the Falcons, you crossed them off. You picked the Saints.
I did.
And
I still
now
think
look what
Saints,
happened with the Saints.
You know, I still think the Saints take down the NFC.
Yeah, they still – yeah, I'm with you on that. The Saints still played a very good game. It's not like they came in here and peed themselves.
Now, listen, if it's a rematch of the Saints and the Patriots in the Super Bowl, I think the Patriots win that one. But I'm still sticking with the Broncos.
You think the Saints – it's going to come down to someone's going to have to beat Seattle in Seattle. That's what's going to happen in the playoffs on the NFC side.
Well, what about if New Orleans has home field?
That's not going to happen.
Why not?
Because Seattle's going to get it.
But what? I don't know. Why?
Because they're a better team.
All right.
Seattle's
so
look at Seattle's schedule. What, you want me to run down their schedule real quick? Arizona, St.
Hold on,
Louis, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Minnesota.
They're both 5-1 right now.
Yeah, they're going to be 10-1, and they're going to then they play the Saints. That could be for they play the Saints on Monday, December 2nd.
Where?
In Seattle.
Oh.
And the winner of that game is going to have a great inside track because the Seahawks have 2 tough games left.
Niners?
Unless you want to count St. Louis. St. Louis can always be tricky.
Yeah.
I'll give you one of the St. Louis's could be tricky. They play the Saints and at the Niners. Everything else is a joke. So they're going to go 13-3, something like that. And the Saints are going to have to match that. I don't see it happening.
Well, I'm just saying that they both have the same record right now. They're both 5-1. Huh? It's not like the Saints are playing behind. They're 4-2 or 3-3. They both have the same record.
All right.
So at the end of the year, yeah, if the Seahawks have a better record, then yeah, they'll get home field advantage. But I don't think it's crazy to think that the Saints are still in the running.
I don't know, man. I don't think the Saints are. I don't
as dominant.
No. I don't know about their defense, and it just seems like every pass is to Jimmy Graham or to one of the running backs.
How precious was Rob Ryan's face after that disappointing? After he was so, oh, it was great. I watched that GIF over and over and over and over again.
That was classic. The Wolfman, right?
Yeah.
You know, and kudos to the television cameras for cutting to him.
Like, oh, absolutely.
It always bothers me, you know, I don't like the Dallas Cowboys. And it always bothers me when the Cowboys lose a game at the end and they don't have that camera on Jerry.
Right, right.
You know, they have it on him when they – it's almost like he's in cahoots with the network. He must have some deal with them to say, only show me when we're winning. You know?
Probably.
Because they rarely show him, like, when Romo throws one of his interceptions at the end.
I feel like he's out of that booth. I feel like he's gone.
He gets the hell out of there?
Yeah, he's somewhere else.
Well, that's what we need to see, more of that. We like to see more of the owners and coaches and players we hate when their team loses a close one. That's what we want to see, right?
Right. Yep.
And no one likes the Ryan boys.
No.
Especially the Wolfman.
Especially on this show.
Yeah.
855-728-7500 is the phone number. You can email us your fantasy football questions for Week 7. Big waiver wire this week, webradio@patriots.com. We're going to get into the waiver wire report in just a little bit. We'll also recap all the injuries from Week 6, give you some of our matchup previews, some lineup advice and player rankings. But, Todd, what do you say we recap Week 6 champs and chumps?
Who were the playmakers, the showstoppers, the studs?
Woo!
And who were the losers, the bums, and the duds? Bill and Todd identify the champs and chumps.
Quarterback champs, Todd. It was an interesting week in fantasy football. Cam Newton with four total touchdowns, three passing and one rushing. Nick Foles, four total touchdowns. He also had a rushing one. And then Andy Dalton of the Bengals had three passing touchdowns. Very, very interesting because Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Tony Romo, none of those quarterbacks made the list. Have Cam Newton, Nick Foles, and Andy Dalton.
Yeah, it was a weird weekend for franchise quarterbacks. Not a lot of juice, quite frankly. Over to the quarterback chumps, Bill. We have Geno Smith, the aforementioned rookie from the New York Jets. He had not a great day against the Steelers. 201 passing yards, two interceptions. And then Eli Manning, Bill, once again makes the list. The Giants are 0-6. This guy is a turnover machine. Three more interceptions against the Bears last Thursday night.
Running back champs, Knowshon Moreno, Marshawn Lynch, Jamaal Charles, and Stephen Ridley. You got to give some credit to Knowshon Moreno here. Three touchdowns on the day. Marshawn Lynch had 77 rushing yards and 78 receiving yards for beast mode. We're not used to seeing him contribute as much in the passing game. And then, of course, Jamaal Charles, we are used to seeing him contribute in the passing game. Five catches, 50 yards to go along with his two touchdowns and 78 yards on the ground. But Stephen Ridley, to me, is the biggest surprise of the week, 96 yards and two touchdowns.
Shocking. I'm sure Kevin loved watching Beast Mode go off like that since he just traded him away.
It hurt me, man. It hurt me.
Oh, I'm sure it did. Hey, but you traded away Amendola, too, didn't you?
I did.
All right.
So no, I didn't trade Amendola. I have Amendola
still.
No, I traded Denarius Moore, who went off against me, too.
You lost?
Yeah, I lost to Flacco, who had a good game, Lynch, who had a good game, and Denarius Moore, who had a good game.
Right. And oh, those are all guys that you just traded.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about it. It's just 1 week.
And who did you get? Stafford in that trade?
I got Matt Stafford.
Four touchdowns.
Sproles and Decker.
Sproles did bad and poorly, and so did Decker, yeah.
It's all right. I still feel good about it. It is what it is. Got another trade to run by you guys later.
Can't wait to hear it. Let's move over to the running back chumps. Running back chumps. Fred Jackson, 10 rushes, 35 yards. Not much going on there. How about Ray Rice? Ray, only 4.9 fantasy points. I don't know what happened to him this past weekend. And then Chris Johnson ran into the Legion of Boom up there in Seattle playing against the Seahawks. Chris Johnson just 21 yards, 21 receiving yards, 33 rushing yards.
Over to the wide receivers, Bill. How about the champs? Vincent Jackson. He had not scored a touchdown all year, Bill. But what's the perfect remedy for that? Go up against the Eagles defense.
That's right.
He caught 9 balls for 114 yards and 2 touchdowns. Other side of the ball, DeSean Jackson from the Eagles. He caught 6 balls for 64 yards and 2 scores. The first time, Bill, in his career, he has 2 receiving touchdowns in 1 game.
Wow.
Kind of surprising, huh?
That is very surprising.
Now, he's caught a ball and he's returned a punt or a kickoff or a touchdown. He's done that, but
right.
He's never had two receiving touchdowns in a game before in
his
career.
At least he held on to the ball by crossing through the plane instead of dropping it before he got to
the end zone. Good point. And then how about Justin Blackmon, Bill? He comes back from his suspension. Cecil Shorts gets injured. He catches 14 balls for 190 yards.
When you're playing against the Broncos, you're going to get a lot of garbage time points. But that wasn't even the case here with the Jaguars game. Blackmon was just involved for all four quarters. And to go back to the Jacksons, B-Jackson, D-Jax, I mean, that was in the same game. And to see those wide receivers kind of just going back and forth kind of one after the other, it's pretty impressive when you have either one of those guys or both of those guys on your fantasy team.
You know what was the killer in watching that Tampa Bay Eagles game was as a Doug Martin owner. They get down to the 2-yard line. Doug Martin runs it down to the 2.
Oh.
You know what? He had like a really nice run, too. I think it was like
a great run. A great run.
Beautiful run, like spins and barreling through tackles. And you know, usually when that happens and you have a first and goal from the 2, you reward your running back.
Yeah.
No.
Not Greg Schiano.
First down, they throw it to Vincent Jackson on a fade or a back shoulder throw. And I'm like, really?
I know. That pissed me off too, actually.
I was so angry by that.
Yeah.
And that was it. They didn't sniff the end zone. You know, they didn't sniff the goal line the rest of the game. All their touchdowns are from far away. So, not good for Doug Martin owners.
Yeah, we have. Go on.
Oh, you go on.
I was just going to say we have a poll up at ffchamps.com. Who was the best receiver in Week 6? Justin Blackmon, Vincent Jackson, DeSean Jackson, or Brandon Marshall? Justin Blackmon, 43% of the votes right now.
Yeah.
Didn't even get into the end zone, but it just shows how impressive the 14 catches for 190 yards really is.
Yeah. You know what? It helps that Chad Henne's throwing him the ball, not
sure it does. No, leave Gabbert on the bench.
We've been talking about that forever.
Yep.
So that's very helpful for Blackmon. And, moving forward, he's just going to be a beast the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Moving over to the wide receiver chumps, Mr. Bill. How about Marquise Colston? We talked about him earlier. Only one catch in the game against the Patriots for 11 yards. That's not getting it done. Torrey Smith from the Baltimore Ravens, also one catch for 12 yards. And Megatron, Bill, he played hurt, and it showed. Only 3 catches, 25 yards. Tough guy to bench when he's in the lineup, but he's definitely not healthy.
Yeah, and the thing about Calvin Johnson is we have a rule at ffchamps.com. You always start your studs. Because, Todd, this 3 catches, 25 yards could have very easily been, 3 catches, 125 yards and a touchdown. So if Calvin Johnson is suiting up, then he's still in my lineup. I would rather have him in my starting roster with only 2.5 points than on my bench with 22.5 points.
Yeah.
You feel me?
It's tough. Is this something that's going to linger for weeks?
I hope not. I mean, he hasn't been practicing. The only action he's been getting in the past 2 weeks was this past Sunday on game day. So, hopefully he has to be getting healthier. He can't be getting worse.
Yeah. Moving over to the tight ends, Bill. And how about for the champs, Vernon Davis, Bill? When this guy's healthy and he's on, I mean, is anybody better other than maybe Jimmy Graham? He's such a big play threat.
He's a monster. And
8 catches, 180 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The three leagues that I care the most about, I had him in one and it was against him in 2.
Okay.
Guess what happened?
What happened?
I went 1-2. Basically, he was the difference in all 3 games. When your tight end, Bill, gets you 30 points in a non-PPR league, that is just monstrous. And again, other than Jimmy Graham, who can do whatever he wants, and we wouldn't be surprised, Vernon Davis, right now, is just is a beast.
And, think about Colin Kaepernick. He's really not passing to anyone else other than Vernon Davis in that game. I think Anquan Boldin had 3 catches. But of 250 yards from Kaepernick, 180 of them went to Vernon Davis. That's crazy.
Yeah. Another tight end champ. How about Joseph Fourier, Bill? Rookie, undrafted, UCLA. This guy catches 3 balls, all for touchdowns for the Lions.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. To see a guy like this score three touchdowns in one game, you know, you get the hat trick for a rookie, is very impressive. But you know, I'm not going crazy for him on the waiver wire.
Another guy that came out of nowhere, Kyle Rudolph. Now, Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, he was pretty good last year, but he's been just dormant this year. But he came up huge, 9 catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown with Matt Castle slinging him the rock.
And I can't believe Kyle Rudolph actually – what did the touchdown come in, like, the final 2 minutes of the game when they were losing by 30 points? But, hey, he got into the end zone. I'm still not trusting him that much, maybe as a waiver wire pickup, backup tight end if you have Jimmy Graham on a bye. But I just can't trust anyone catching passes from Matt Castle. Just can't do it.
Moving on to the tight end chumps, Bill. Jimmy Graham, 0 catches, 0 yards, 0 fantasy points, and he got banged up at the end of the game to boot. Not a great day for Jimmy G.
And you have to give credit to Belichick and Aqib Talib here. Before Talib's injury, you know, he was shutting down Jimmy Graham. You had your best cover guy on the Saints' best playmaker, regardless of the position, and they did a great job of really stopping him from making any plays.
Last two on the chumps list. How about Greg Olsen, only 2 catches for 19 yards, and Jason Witten, Bill. He's had a very strange year thus far, only 3 catches for 27 yards on the Sunday Night Football game.
Well, that Sunday night game was just a little bit out of control for me. I didn't really get a good.
It was a buzzkill.
There was no. There was nothing there to like get a good flow going.
Well, there you know what? The big interrupter of the flow was special teams.
Exactly. The Cowboys didn't really have any long drives. Dez Bryant didn't get the ball a lot. They were running the ball well early on. Jason
Murray got
not
hurt.
Involved. Right, and then Murray got hurt. So there was just nothing there that really got into a groove for the Cowboys or the Redskins.
The Cowboys only had 213 total yards of offense, and yet they scored 31 points, thanks mainly to Dwayne Harris, who had the punt return for a touchdown and another long return that set up another score. So very strange when you're out yardaged 433 to 213, and yet you win.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
And win handily, you know? It was hard to get a grasp on either team. You know, I didn't understand what the Redskins were trying to do. It seems like they're not sure about the read option anymore, and they're kind of – I don't know what they're doing. They're really not establishing the run. They're really – RG3 looks erratic. Those two teams are kind of enigmas to me.
Yeah, the NFC East is just terrible.
So, Bill, I know you're not a baseball fan, but I hear that there's something interesting going on, Kevin. Maybe you can help us out here. There's something interesting happening right now at Fenway?
Yeah, well, no, not Fenway. It's in Detroit.
Oh, we're in Detroit now.
Yeah, it
who
seems
cares?
Like Twitter's exploding, as usual.
I don't
What's
care.
Going on?
The internet's
going
to blow up. No, there's a power outage at Comerica Park in Detroit, and so the ALCS Game 3 between the Red Sox and Tigers is in a power outage delay. Just like the Super Bowl.
I didn't even know the Red Sox were playing the Tigers.
Really?
I had no idea.
I just feel bad because, not that I like the Tigers or anything, but I always root for the city of Detroit because it has such a bad name, and you root for good things to happen to those people and try to turn, you know, whether it's the auto industry or whatever, try to turn that area around, and this is not making them look very good.
So how long is it going to be out for?
It's already been out. We've been in a delay now for, about 6-7 minutes, and they're saying it could be up to 20 minutes, half an hour.
That's not that bad.
For a starting pitcher, it's pretty bad.
What's the score?
It's 0-0 in the bottom of the second.
All right, so it's not like the Raven controversy where the conspiracy where the Ravens are up big, so Goodell has to stop the game.
But I will say, in the crisp fall temperatures, it is tough for the this will be tough on the pitchers and nobody else. The starting pitchers.
So who's the advantage go to there? Mr. Baseball.
Well, I think the advantage coming in is definitely with the tie. I mean, they have Verlander, who is, you know, I think their ace, but Max Scherzer has also pitched very well. But I think, you know, him pitching against Lackey, I think there's a decided advantage in Detroit's favor. But looking at these shots on Fox, as this game's on national TV back here in the studio, it looks like Lackey is the one more agitated by this delay. It's kind of funny to watch. And he was the guy who kind of headed the chicken and beer controversy of a couple of years ago.
Bill, why don't you give us a quick analysis on the Tigers' bullpen heading into this big game?
It's in tough shape.
Yeah, but come on, Bill. Mr. Baseball. Give us some analysis.
Come on, Billy
baseball
boy.
Analysis.
I don't know. Whoever throws it the fastest is going to win. Whoever, how about this for now? So whoever lets up the most runs is going to win the game.
There you go.
I really can't give you anything about baseball. I can't name one. Who's on the Tigers? Cabrera?
Yeah, Miguel Cabrera, who won the Triple Crown last year. And right, almost won it again this year.
That's who all my friends talk about in fantasy baseball.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I don't pay any attention to.
They have who else?
Red Sox. I mean, I don't know. I know like three or four people.
You know Big Poppy?
I know Big Poppy.
That's a start.
Who dates Kate Upton?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Who's Justin Verlander?
He's the Detroit Tigers pitcher.
Yeah, I think that's who Kate Upton dates.
That wouldn't shock me.
Well,
guess he's a flamethrower.
He's a lucky man.
He is a lucky man. Can throw some heat, too.
Well, I mean, I don't care about his pitching, but.
Guy throws 100 miles an hour. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
We're going to take a quick break here on Patriots.com Radio. Waiver wire report for Week 7 and the injury recap for Week 6 coming up next, plus your emails and telephone calls right here on Patriots.com Radio.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Probable?
It is what it is.
Questionable?
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
Doubtful? Are any of your players on this week's injury report? It's time for Bumps and Bruises.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries, Kevin Collins hanging out with you. Really just getting started here, although we spent a lot of the first segment talking about the Saints and the Patriots. Rightfully so, it was a great game. But now it's time to look back at some of the injuries that are affecting our fantasy football teams. Let's start it off with the quarterbacks, Todd. Thad Lewis of the Buffalo Bills was doing a really good job.
Who?
Keeping the
Bill.
What? Thaddeus Lewis?
The Bills, Bill. I mean, seriously. What is going on with the Bills in the quarterback situation? Could they ever find someone that can put together more than like two starts for them?
It's really unfortunate. They drafted E.J. Manuel, first quarterback taken in this year's draft, and he's what, played three games for them?
Yeah, they threw Tool time out there a little bit in the preseason.
Yeah.
Right, Jeff Tool, the rookie from Washington State.
Yeah.
He was so bad that they decided to promote Thaddeus Lewis from the practice squad, and he actually did okay. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he sprains his foot. He's up in the air for this week. So who did they go out and sign?
Matt Flynn, ladies and gentlemen. Matt Flynn.
The $14 million per game quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what, you know, I'm sure the Patriots are shaking in their boots about having to face either Thaddeus Lewis or Matt Flynn, perhaps, in their next battle down the line. I mean, it's just, it's got to suck being a Bills fan, Bill, because this is what happens. These franchises, they just can't find quarterbacks. I mean, we talked a couple weeks ago, Bill, about the Browns. And remember that jersey? I tweeted out a picture of that jersey where the person, she bought a Tim Couch jersey.
Right.
And every...
She kept adding to it?
Yeah. She got duct tape, and she added a line for each quarterback, starting quarterback they've had since they drafted Tim Couch, and it was like off the shirt. It was like 20 different names.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just another week in the life of being a Bills fan, you know, for these poor people. They got to deal with Matt Flynn coming into the mix.
Yeah, and, you know, now with Matt, what the heck's his name? E.J. Manuel not expected back for a while, so... Who knows what's going to happen with Thaddeus Lewis with the foot sprain? Who knows if we're going to see Matt Flynn this week? But we do know that E.J. Manuel is still out for another couple weeks.
Matt Schaub is also on the injury report, Bill. Tough situation for Matt Schaub. He had the ankle injury. The fans cheered him when he was injured.
Pathetic. That's so disrespectful, pathetic, and low class.
they bring in T.J. Yates. He promptly throws a pick six.
Well, at least the Texan fans know that it wasn't just Matt Schaub who stinks at quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, pick sixes can happen to other people, too. They saw that firsthand.
So his status is up in the air if he can play this week. And, you know, there are whispers, Bill, that Case Keenum, they might give him a little bit of a look in practice this week. So
I can't imagine that happening. I mean, this guy was undrafted, Todd. Think about undrafted players. That means seven rounds of players went before you. So, you know, guys like Kembrell Tompkins, those are the exceptions.
Look what the Raiders did, Bill. They had Terrell Pryor. They signed Matt Flynn, right? They drafted Travis Wilson.
Tyler Wilson
out of Arkansas.
Right.
And then the undrafted quarterback was Matt McGloin of Penn State. Well, who's number two there right now? Matt McGloin of Penn State, the undrafted guy. Because they cut Flynn and they cut Wilson. So it happens. These, you know, it's hard to – apparently it's very difficult to figure out who could be, who could be an NFL quarterback these days.
Because
teams are all over the place. So I'm just saying there's whispers that they might give him a look if these injuries persist. He might get a chance. You'd never know.
All right, let's move over to running backs because we do have some big news with Cowboys running back DeMarco Murray. He has a sprained MCL. I expect him to miss a couple weeks. You know, right now Jerry Jones is saying that they're not sure if he's going to play this week, which indicates that there's a chance he plays this week. To me, that's just a bunch of hogwash. Hogwash, Todd.
You can't trust anything that Jerry Jones says.
Exactly.
I mean, either he's lying or he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. And I think this one's probably he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Right.
He's just talking.
Moving on to the New York Giants backfield, David Wilson doesn't need surgery, so that's good news. But still, the team doesn't expect him back until after the bye week, which happens in week 9. So expect to see Wilson in the backfield in week 10, which is also, I believe, when Andre Brown can come back. They still have Brandon Jacobs. Now, they cut Darrell Scott a little bit earlier today for the second time this year. He was injured anyway. But the Giants backfield is just a mess. I want no part of it.
What does Darrell Scott do every time he gets cut? Does he just go back to like his apartment and just hang out?
I don't know. I don't know. I kind of feel bad for him. Like this is the second time they cut him 2 weeks ago. They brought him back last week, and then they cut him this week.
So when they brought him back,
and they worked out, they worked out Peyton Hillis today. Like, give me a break.
Peyton Hillis.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
Was Joe Morris not available?
I guess not. No. You know what Joe Morris does, Todd? I saw this the last week. Joe Morris is the guy that goes around to all the players with a checklist and make sure their equipment is up to regulation. So I think every player has to have a certain amount of pink on for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Yeah. Like, that's his job right now.
Joe Morris, former star running back of the
Yes, team. Yes.
Checklist guy.
Wardrobe checklist guy.
Okay.
I mean, that's not a bad job if you're retired and, you know, you're just trying to hang out for a little bit, see the game for free. I wouldn't mind that. Yeah. Walk around before the game with a clipboard.
That's true.
Yeah.
You have too much pink on, says Mr. Morris.
Or not enough.
Not enough pink.
Not enough pink.
Here's a wristband.
Here's a...
Jeez.
And the final...
That's a lot of pink staring you right in the face.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pink staring you right in the face.
Who's that?
Brian Billick.
Oh.
Oh, jeez.
Thanks,
yeah, you could take this a lot of different ways.
That's a lot of pink staring you right in the face.
Yeah, I thought really you were going to play the Fred cut right after that, but I guess you didn't go that direction.
No.
That's where I would
have. That was a keeper. I was sitting in the studio listening to him call some game, and I was like, whoa, hey now.
This is how Kevin's conditioned to watch football games, Bill.
Just listen for
I
audio
sit there
clips.
And I listen to the terrible announcers and laugh and then just try to get that stuff, you know, the audio from it.
The last running back on the injury report is Steven Jackson of the Atlanta Falcons. He still is dealing with that hamstring injury, Todd, which he suffered from week two. Can you believe this guy? He's still not back in action. The team had a bye. It's now week 7, and he's dealing with an injury from over a month ago.
You know, Steven Jackson chose the Falcons because he wanted a shot to get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Gonzo stuck around another extra year or two to try to get to a Super Bowl. And this is what's going on in Atlanta. I don't know what to say. I mean, Steven Jackson, he's an older running back, and he takes a long time to heal. So he's killing me in one of my leagues. This guy's just killing me. And, you know, I've got Quiz Rogers, and I'll just have to keep throwing him out there. But Steven Jackson's got to get healthy. See, this sounds like it's going to just keep going on, Bill. I don't think this is like he's going to be ready anytime soon.
You'd think that with a muscle pull or even a tear, once it's healed, it's healed. I mean, it's not like he's been practicing. It's not like he's been back in action where he's, you know, aggravating the injury. He's been out.
Yeah. I don't know what to say.
All right, let's move over to wide receivers, Todd. Some really bad injury news here for Green Bay Packers wideout Randall Cobb, expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks with a broken right fibula.
That's just terrible. I mean, what did you think of the hit?
I thought it was a dirty play.
Did you see Aaron Rodgers get in his face?
I loved it.
Seriously, I loved it too.
I loved it.
I wished it went a little further than it went, you know?
Hey, you know, Rodgers sticking up for his boy.
I know. I think it's great.
Brett Favre used to do that a lot too, and I loved it when Brett Favre did it. So the fact that Aaron Rodgers is doing it now, who's also a Packers quarterback, I like seeing that from the QBs every once in a while.
I agree. Not a good situation. Another Packers receiver that went down, James Jones, went down with a leg or knee injury. We're not really sure what it was, but apparently, Bill, it's not serious. So the Packers dodge a bullet with that one. Jones is questionable for this week.
Right.
But Cobb is out for basically the duration of the fantasy regular season.
Yeah, and that's a killer. Julio Jones, Randall Cobb, those are the two biggest injuries to date.
How about Macklin? We forget about Jeremy Macklin.
I don't know if he would have been on the same level as Julio Jones and Cobb.
No. I agree with that. I don't know. In this offense, I don't know.
Nah.
I mean, he wouldn't have been on that level, but I don't know. Just seems like these receivers are just starting to go down. I mean, Danny Amendola is the next one on the list, Bill. Concussion, he got knocked out. You know, it's always something with Danny Amendola, unfortunately. And that was a nasty hit that he took there, Bill. And, man, he just went down and didn't move. And, you know, you just
Kevin.
Hold your breath on that.
Kevin, were you around him when that happened?
Around what?
Amendola.
Yeah, I was semi-close. I mean, on their sideline. I got a good view of it. I thought he was dead.
Did you see him trying to get up and walk around?
Yeah, he was very, how do you say it? Like
out of it?
Oh, no, but like jelly leg, like wobbly legs, you know, needed the support of others to get off the bench and get down the tunnel. He didn't look good, guys. He didn't look good.
Yeah, he did not look good.
And for his sake, I hope, you know, they take every precaution, you know, necessary, because you don't want to see him be kind of like one of these repeat offenders, like a guy like Austin Colley, who all of a sudden is trying to, like, beg for work and then, you know, have teams sign waivers that say if he gets concussed or dies on the field, it's not their fault. You know, you don't want to see him turn into one of those guys.
Right. No, you certainly don't.
No, it's just really sad. I mean, he came out, he had a great week one. Up in Buffalo, I think he caught 10 balls for over 100 yards in that game. They don't win that game without him, and then he's just really been unable to stay on the field. And last week and this week, you know, the times he was on the field, he was really a non-factor. So,
yeah,
Wes Welker would look pretty good right now
leading the league in touchdowns.
Yeah, think he's a good little player.
Not bad. Let's move over to Cecil Shorts. Todd of the Jacksonville Jaguars has a sprained AC joint, which is somewhere in the shoulder area. He's unlikely to play in Week 7. You know, they're calling him questionable right now, but I'd be shocked if he was in action.
Tight end Jimmy Graham, Bill. Ankle, foot injury. We're not really sure exactly what it is, but the good news is that Jimmy Graham's on a bye this week.
So that's great news.
Perfect timing. Hopefully he's back for Week 8. Right now, it's early, but the indications are it sounds like he should be ready for Week 8, but you know, you might just want to have a plan B ready just in case.
And for anyone that kind of just looked at the box score and saw that Jimmy Graham, one, didn't have any catches, and two, got injured, you know, that's not an excuse. The injury came really, really late in the game, like basically the final 2 or 3 minutes, so don't get it twisted. Jimmy Graham was shut down in the game.
He was. And then, hey, the other tight end that we always got to talk about, I refuse to speculate on, is how about Rob Gronkowski, guys?
Kevin, what's going on up there? I mean, are the rumors true that the locker room is getting upset, that he looks so good in practice, but he's never on the field, and now his mom's started to make some quotes, and it's getting a little bit out of hand.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. I wish I had a clue. I wish I could shed some light on it, but I have no clue what's going on.
Every week it's the same thing.
And
Jimmy Graham...
most of us, Bill, up here in Patriots.com radio, are just so sick of talking about it. We're just like, when he plays, we'll talk
about him.
But, you know, until he plays, we're not going to talk about
it. It's just annoying because every week on Monday and Tuesday, it's Rob Gronkowski is going to play. Rob Gronkowski is going to play. He's going to be active this week. He's going to make his debut. And then Thursday or Friday come along, and he's like, oh, didn't even travel with the team.
Yeah, it's pretty, I mean.
Pretty consistent.
Yeah, and it's just, at this point, kind of stupid to even try to speculate, you know? I mean, it's just a waste of time.
Thank you.
Todd. Todd's been saying that since week two.
Yes, I've been saying
Todd's right about
weeks.
Everything.
And by the way, who won the bet? The Gronk bet.
You did.
You
ding,
did.
Ding, ding,
yeah.
You should have been on PUP, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if he's going to be out this long, but, I mean, obviously they were.
Should have been on short-term IR at this
point. Yeah, obviously they were hoping that, you know, you would, or had some hope that he would come back sooner. Because certainly having him take up a roster spot and not play at all is not the optimal solution.
Right. Right.
Hey, the good news is the team's 5-1.
And they don't need him.
They just beat the
not
Saints.
Not saying they don't need him, but they are winning without him.
You know, what we said in August on this whole thing was rest him until he's right. Get right. through the first half of the season.
Might as well just sit him for the whole damn year now.
Just sit him until he's right. Because we've talked about it. We said it over and over again. As Patriots fans, all you care about is winning the Super Bowl anymore. Who
right.
cares what you do in the regular season? Just get to the playoffs, try to get a bye, get to the Super Bowl. And so get Gronk ready for December, you know, December or January. Get him a few games under his belt and have him ready for the playoff run. That's all you need. You know, I know this is a fantasy show, and fantasy-wise, it's a complete disaster.
Big time.
If you drafted him. But, you know, reality is you don't need this guy right now. You're 5-1.
If they weren't winning with him, do you think he'd be playing already?
I don't know. It's impossible to say.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd be playing.
No?
Nope.
If they were 1-5 instead of 5-1, you don't think he'd be out there?
1-5 definitely wouldn't be playing.
Hmm. All right.
I think the better question would be if they're like 500. You know, 3-4 or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Or 3-3.
Right.
You know what I mean?
All right, so that's from the injury report, Todd. It is time to go over to our waiver wire report for week 7.
Free agents, pickups, or waiver wire claims.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
The names may be different in your league, but the players are the same. The Fantasy Football Champs are here with the roster moves you should make this week.
All right, so our waiver wire report is pretty extensive as we're heading into week 7. Todd, I want to just quickly mention the quarterbacks that we discussed last week, because with Drew Brees on a bye, and maybe people are using Terrell Pryor out there, you might be looking for a quarterback. And I want to remind everyone that last week we suggested picking up Nick Foles and Sam Bradford. Both had excellent week 6 games, so we're just reminding everyone about them in case they're still out there. But how about Andy Dalton, who this week is playing the Detroit Lions? Or Mike Glennon of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on NFC South rival Atlanta Falcons.
Hey, Andy Dalton, he has plenty of weapons, Bill. I mean, we all know A.J. Green and Gio Bernard, who can, you know, take a screen and take it to the house.
Yeah.
It's surprising that Andy Dalton is available in so many leagues, and quite frankly, it's more surprising that he hasn't produced up until this week.
Yep.
So, yeah, I would take a chance with Andy Dalton any time, especially with the matchup coming up. Now, Mike Glennon, he's a little more boom-bust, I think. You know,
yeah.
He's the rookie. He had a bye week. He had 2 weeks to prepare for the Eagles, who are a sieve of a defense.
Right.
And, you know, he did well. And the Falcons defense isn't all that either. So, you know, if you're in desperate straits, you know, you could, you know, look for Glennon. But I wouldn't have as much confidence in Glennon as I would in Dalton.
And the matchup for Dalton is a little bit better, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon Whedon just had 292 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Lions last week.
Old man Whedon.
Exactly.
Even with that one pass, that little, you see that one pass he threw?
Oh, that left-handed, like, shovel pass that got picked?
What the hell is he doing?
I don't know. That's definitely a come-on, man.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, waiver wire report for the running backs, Bill. Last week, actually, the last, like, 3 weeks, we've been talking about Andre Ellington, the rookie from Clemson, as a guy to keep an eye on, stash and hope. And then last week we said pick him up. And what happened?
He went off for a touchdown. And, again, he does it in the passing game and he does it in the rushing game. 3 weeks in a row now, he has over 70 yards from scrimmage. And this time he got into the end zone.
So this is a guy that you have to pick up. We've been saying it for weeks. If you haven't done so already, hopefully he's still out there. You can still get him.
Yep. Another guy that we talked about last week, Zach Stacy. Not a bad day for the Rams.
76 yards on the ground against the Texans. You have to keep in mind that it was the St. Louis Rams defense that was scoring all the points. So whenever the Rams offense was on the field, Stacy was the one getting the ball.
Yeah. So those are the guys we talked about last week. The guys to keep an eye on this week, Bill, I know the guy that you like the most is Dallas Cowboy running back Joseph Randle, the rookie from Oklahoma State.
I like him for a few reasons. One, I believe in the Dallas Cowboys offense. I think they're a very potent bunch that puts points up on the board. But two, I don't trust DeMarco Murray to stay healthy even when he comes back. So for the fact that Randle now has the opportunity in Dallas backfield pretty much to himself, yeah, he's my must-have pickup this week, my number one option.
Well, what's the status of Lance Dunbar? Because
right now he's not expected to play this week. He's still dealing with a hamstring injury.
Okay. Because I think that if Dunbar were to come back in a couple of weeks, that could muddle this whole thing.
Well, we'll see how true that is. I mean, Dunbar was with the team last year and he didn't get a lot of reps when Murray went down. But
now that we're talking to DeMarco Murray, I got offered. Now Murray gets hurt, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, he gets hurt and I get a trade proposal for him because he's on my team, which kind of freaks me out. Because why would you want somebody who just went down with an injury, right?
Can we finish the waiver wire report before we help out your crappy fantasy team?
No, I'm just curious. What do you make of people who are like trying to like propose
trade? But what's the offer?
Demaryius Thomas.
He's going to give you Demaryius Thomas for DeMarco Murray?
Yes.
Why are you even questioning that?
I don't know. I'm just – it feels too good to be true.
No, just do it. Hurry up.
Do it? Just do it? Okay.
Yeah, do it right now.
Just curious.
Just do it.
The Denver Broncos, Demaryius Thomas, not
Demaryius
Moore?
Yes, the Denver Broncos, Demaryius Thomas.
Only winners get wings, Demaryius Thomas?
Yes. Okay. That very one. Very talented fellow.
Do it. Get him. Do it.
And then don't interrupt the start.
I'm sorry. Just you were on the topic, and I'm literally putting in my claim for
Ridiculous.
The Cowboys backups. I'm sorry.
Ridiculous. So selfish. We're trying to help out the millions of people listening to us on Patriots.com radio.
So
all you care
ridiculous.
About is your team.
It's so ridiculous.
Exactly. It is what it is.
I'm completely bamboozled here. Where are we?
It's a joke.
Joseph Randle of the Dallas Cowboys. Kev, you should still pick him up.
Even though
you don't have DeMarco Murray anymore.
I'm putting
you
in my claims
pick,
right now as we speak.
You should still pick up Joseph Randle. He is my
number
one claim.
I got no running backs left, so now I got to have to pick somebody up.
Some other running backs to consider: Brandon Jacobs of the Giants, Chris Obanaya of the Browns, Kerry Robinson, even though he's on the Saints, who has a bye this week. I still think Robinson can make an impact for those of you in 12 or 14 team leagues. And the same goes for Michael Cox, the rookie from the Giants, who is not one of the players that I mentioned at the NFL draft this year. Thank you. Now that's an inside joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? Let's move over to wide receivers, Todd. Last week we kind of told everyone that with Julio Jones out, Harry Douglas would be the guy to pick up. But since the Falcons were on a bye, my guess is he wasn't. He's still available in a lot of leagues, so I'm mentioning Harry Douglas again. How about Jarrett Boykin, the rookie for the Green Bay Packers? He's an undrafted, or was he drafted by the 49ers last year?
I'm not sure. I'm going to find out right now.
Anyway, Jarrett Boykin is probably going to take over as the number three wide receiver behind Jordy Nelson and behind James Jones for the Packers. With Randall Cobb out, expect to see Jarrett Boykin pretty involved in that pass-first passing offense. Racist Riley Cooper from the Philadelphia Eagles. Brandon LaFell. Thank you very much. Brandon LaFell from the Carolina Panthers had over 100 yards and a touchdown. Percy Harvin, Todd. Percy Harvin. I like to put guys that are coming back from injury that we haven't seen on the field yet just to remind people out there that they're still available, that they're big-time players. Percy Harvin, I'm mentioning him now. In a couple weeks, I'll remind you about Andre Brown from the Giants, Michael Crabtree from the 49ers, because these are guys that you want to keep an eye on, see how they're progressing from their injuries, because before you know it, Percy Harvin's going to be on the field, and it's going to be the fantasy playoffs, and you're going to say, oh, why didn't I think to pick him up? So here I am in week 7 reminding you, keep an eye on Percy Harvin. And then finally, the wide receiver from the Cincinnati Bengals is Marvin Jones. Had a pretty good game considering A.J. Green gets most of the targets, but Marvin Jones still able to get 70 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, just to close the loop on Jarrett Boykin, Bill. Undrafted in 2012 from Virginia Tech.
Okay, undrafted.
Yeah, so that's the story on Jarrett Boykin.
Another undrafted player we're talking about here.
Yep.
I don't know what these NFL scouts are doing through the first seven rounds of the draft, but for whatever reason, these undrafted guys are making a lot of noise.
Bill, you have a trio of tight ends to discuss.
I do. Jeff Cumberland of the New York Jets. Remember when Kellen Winslow, that one time, he was like on the Patriots for like half a day? Well, he was suspended for PEDs this year or last week for four games, so Jeff Cumberland's going to step into a pretty nice role there with the New York Jets. Jordan Reed of the Washington Redskins seems like they're phasing out Fred Davis, and Jordan Reed is starting to get a lot of action for the Redskins. And then Kyle Rudolph, Todd, I mean, he has a big name at this point. I know a lot of people dropped him earlier in the year, and after this big game, 97 yards and a touchdown, you have to pick him back up. He's worth stashing on your roster for a backup spot.
You know, it's kind of like the Jacksonville situation in that you want Castle to be the quarterback over Ponder.
Or yeah. Josh Freeman.
Or Josh Freeman. Anybody but Ponder.
Sure.
It's same thing in Jacksonville. Anybody but Gabbert, you know.
Right, right.
You know what? Of those three tight ends, I kind of like Jordan Reed the most.
I do, too. I think that's because of the quarterback.
Yeah, I think he's just I think he's just a more athletic player than the other guys as well. And they utilize him a little differently. And, you know, he was open a couple times, and Robert Griffin just didn't even look his way. I mean, he had a – did you see the one play? He had, like, a 60-yard touchdown. He was open around the middle. Did you see the play? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
He's looking around, like, why am I all by myself here? And
I know.
Three didn't look
great.
His way. So that's what I think about that.
That was our waiver wire report. Now, that's half of the battle. The other half is who do you drop off your roster? So if you have a waiver wire question, you can give us a call right now, 855-728-7500. We can also jump into some emails, Todd, webradio@patriots.com. Got a lot to get to today. I think we should kind of go to some of these emails just to get caught up before we hop into a break. Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right, first one up is from Todd B. He says, Rocky's being taken out of the ring on a stretcher. I need your help big time.
Uh-oh.
Oh, this is, remember he sent us that picture of Rocky last week?
Yep.
My team is ravaged by injuries and underperformers. I am limping into the next round at 3-3. My team is as follows, 10-team PPR keeper league. Aaron Rodgers, Ray Rice, Chris Johnson, Ryan Matthews, Shane Vereen, Anquan Boldin, Brandon Bolden, Le'Veon Bell, Des Bryant, Roddy White, Randall Cobb, Keenan Allen, Heath Miller, Rob Gronkowski. I was hoping to hang on to Vereen, but injuries are forcing me to let him go. He has a bye week issue in week 8, Rice, Matthews, Chris Johnson, and Allen, and now Cobb and Roddy White possibly out. Ooh, that is a bye week issue.
Yeah.
Here are the guys on waivers. Please suggest who I should pick up and drop from my team. Brandon Jacobs, Zach Stacy, Joseph Randall, Brandon LaFell, Kendall Wright, Devon Austin, Charles Clay. That's Todd in Jacksonville. Ugh. Well, Todd, let's start off with who he should drop. He has two tight ends, but one of them's Rob Gronkowski, so he can't drop Heath Miller.
I'm dropping Cobb.
Dropping Cobb, huh? 6 to 8 weeks. We're in week 6 at the very
We're going into week 7, right? And his main bye week issue is week 8.
Yeah.
If you drop him now, first of all, you're not going to have him for a couple of months. So if someone else picks him up, then so be it.
Right.
But if someone doesn't pick him up, after you get through week 8, if you really want to, pick him back up again.
Why drop Cobb and not Vereen?
Well, what's the status on Vereen? I thought he could be back in week
11.
11.
Yeah.
Which Cobb is only 4 Cobb weeks away.
Cobb at the best, at the very best, week 13.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I guess drop Cobb. I'm going after Joseph Randall 1, Zach Stacy 2. Or do you think Zach Stacy should be 1, Joseph Randall 2?
Here's my concern with Joseph Randall. I could see the Cowboys just
going
saying the hell with the quarterback or the hell with the running back position. We're just gonna put 4 wide and just throw it down your throat.
You know, you mentioned that to me a little bit earlier today, and I went back and looked at how many times the Cowboys didn't use a running back, and it was shocked to my surprise quite a bit.
Yeah,
they did it a lot. So you might be onto something there, Todd.
You know, I mean, Joseph Randall's a rookie.
Yeah,
he I don't know. I just don't know that he's going to come in and set the world on fire. Now, again, against the Eagles, anything's possible. But my guess is, at least against the Eagles, I just think they're going to throw it around. Now, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He is one of those type of receivers, you know, running back receiver types. But I just don't know that he's going to come in and, you know, get 18 carries and 5 catches. You know, I don't think he's going to come in and be a dream come true. Zach Stacy, on the other hand, he's going to be pretty kind of solid but unspectacular. So I agree with you. I think Randall's still the guy to get, the number one guy. But I'm just not, you know, super high on him. I don't think he's a no-brainer type by any stretch. And DeMarco Murray, I mean, how long is he going to be out for?
I don't know, 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, we don't really know.
No, we don't. All right, so I'm going to change my order then. I'm going to go Stacy 1, Joseph Randall 2, and since it is a PPR league, I'm going to go Kendall Wright 3, followed by Brandon LaFell 4. Brandon Jacobs is like 5 for me.
There you go.
That was for Todd in Jacksonville. Kevin, did you accept the trade yet?
I did.
All right, good job. I don't know what that guy was thinking, but you just made a steal. Next email is from Craig in Florida. He says, hi, guys. I sustained my first loss of the year this week, so I need some help to stay on top of my 12-team half-point PPR league. Wow. He was undefeated heading into week 6. Pretty impressive. Number 1, should I start Luck or Rivers? I know Rivers is up against Jacksonville, but the Chargers seem to run the ball when they get a lead.
Wow. You know, it's funny. I had that exact same question last night. I have both Luck and Rivers, and they were going against each other. And I went with Luck, and boy, did that offense look bad.
Yeah, this week they're playing against the Denver Broncos. Do you think kind of Andrew Luck is, you know, trying to
show up against Peyton,
his predecessor?
By the way, just another prediction that we got right, or I got right, was I said the Broncos were going to score in the 30s and give up something in the teens and not cover that 28, and that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
I think the Broncos come out on fire this week.
I agree.
I think the Broncos are going to put up what, if not their best effort, their top 2 offensive efforts. They're gonna light up the scoreboard this week. So Luck better have his game face on, because they're gonna need to score 40 something to win this one.
So who are you going with, Luck or Rivers?
I am going to go with Luck.
I'm going to go with Luck as well. Sunday Night Football can't go wrong with Andrew Luck playing against Peyton. Number 2 question for Craig in Florida. Pick one running back and one flex. Remember, it's a half a point PPR league. Danny Woodhead, Andre Ellington, Brandon Bolden, or Kenbrell Tompkins?
Woodhead.
Yes. Ellington against Seattle.
No.
Brandon Bolden against the Jets. Kenbrell against the Jets.
It's either Ellington or Tompkins. I might go Tompkins.
I think we're not expecting Danny Amendola to play, so I'm going to go Tompkins as well. I'm going to go Woodhead and Tompkins. I don't trust Ellington against Seattle. That's just too tough for me.
I agree.
We have a trade question from Simon in the UK. Hey, Todd and Bill, just want to start by saying how you guys have helped me so much over the last 2 years with your advice. I won 2 of my 3 leagues last year. Clap it up for, what the heck's his name? Simon. Clap it up for Simon. Thank you, Simon. We appreciate that. I have a big headache this week. I've been offered a trade and need some advice. I've been offered AJ Green for Reggie Bush and do not know what to do for the rest. I do not know what to do for the best. I know your rules on running backs, but AJ is elite. I'm in a standard scoring league. Todd, right now his running backs are Doug Martin, Trent Richardson, and he has Reggie Bush and Shane Vereen. So if he trades away Reggie Bush, it's really just Doug Martin and Trent Richardson. His wide receivers, DeSean Jackson, Torrey Smith. He's got Roddy White on the bench, Tavon Austin, Antonio Brown, and Reuben Randall. To me, I don't think he needs James Jones. I don't think he needs A.J. Green. James Jones is his flex, by the way.
No.
I don't think he needs A.J. Green. He's giving up too much. You can't trust Trent Richardson and Doug Martin to get it done.
Trent Richardson has been awful.
Oh, terrible.
I mean, Reggie Bush, to me, I put him as this best running back.
Top 5 back right now.
I got Bush 1. On his list, I got Bush 1, Dougie Martin 2, and Trent 3 in that order. So I would not give up Reggie Bush. I like DeSean Jackson. Torrey Smith's going to be just fine. Antonio Brown's not bad. You know, Reuben Randall's not terrible.
Right.
Roddy White, maybe he comes back healthy in a couple weeks. Who knows?
Yep.
So, you know, I would not make that trade.
All right, so we're just.
Trade away Trent for AJ Green.
Right, I would trade away Trent for AJ Green too, but not Reggie.
Not Reggie.
Just getting started with your Week 7 waiver wire and lineup questions. You can give us a call 855-728-7500. Web radio patriots.com. Emails and your telephone calls all coming up next right here on patriots.com radio.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance. You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in at 508-298-0398.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs. 20 minutes left to get in your fantasy football questions for Week 7. You want to know who to start, you want to know who to pick up. Now is the time to call us, 855-728-7500. Kev, you got to get a new rejoin. The guy's giving us the wrong number.
It's the right number. It's just not the, like, world number.
I don't know what that means.
No, that number still goes to the Ace Ticket hotline, but, I mean, it's not like the 855 number. But that number is still, for local, still works.
Oh. Okay. So there's two numbers in activation.
There's, like, actually, like, four numbers. But I mean,
oh, really?
The one that you're trying to steer people towards, I guess, is the 855 one.
855-728-7500.
Yeah, but they all work. 508-298-0398 is ingrained in my head for the last 4 years.
Let's not confuse the good people out there.
I'm with you.
855-728-7500. That's easy for me to remember. Right? 855-PATS-500.
That's the easiest.
I'm going to start saying that one. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. Todd, let's jump back into the emails. By any chance, do you know where we left off?
Yes, I do.
Oh, thank God.
We left off with Josh. Josh, the Pats fan from NYC.
Okay, good.
Hey, guys, wanted to thank you. Your advice has led me to picking up Kansas City's defense.
Nice.
Andre Ellington.
Awesome.
And Keenan Allen.
Excelente.
All three are looking great, and I'm sitting alone at 5-1.
Damn right.
The question is it time to drop DeAndre Hopkins?
I hate questions like this because I don't know who he's considered picking up. He already has Ellington, has Allen. Yeah.
I agree with you. You got to give us more information. Josh, however, I would, yes, consider dropping DeAndre Hopkins depending on your other options. That's the whole thing you're getting to, Bill.
Exactly.
But, yes, I don't think this is a question where you just say, no, wouldn't drop him. I would consider dropping him,
depends on
who's available.
Totally.
Got it.
Totally does.
So if you're listening, Josh, email us back quickly and we'll with more information and we can help you out on that.
Yeah, holler at us, as they say.
All right, Chris J. has a question. He needs to help with his starting lineup, Bill. Non-PPR, his QBs are Breeze and Romo.
Okay.
Who are you starting?
Oh, he needs to know who he's starting. Well, Breeze is on a bye this week, so you're not going to start him.
There you go. You're going to start the guy that's playing this week. Good point. Oh, starting lineup questions on Tuesday are tough.
Right. Yes, sometimes they are.
Running backs, Doug Martin, Stephen Ridley, Danny Woodhead, Gio Bernard.
Gio and Doug Martin, and then possibly Ridley in the flex, but it depends on the scoring system, which I don't believe he gives us. Otherwise, if it's PPR, I'm going with Woodhead. If it's non-PPR, I'm going with Ridley.
Okay. Got it.
Ridley in the flex over Woodhead and McGahee.
I agree.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, Dez, Larry Fitz, Jordy Nelson, Torrey Smith,
wow.
Edelman.
Jeez.
That's some. I mean, he has Amendola and James Jones, but they're both hurt. So.
All right. So he has another flex spot that he can use a wide receiver, running back, and a tight end. And he has to fill two wide receiver spots. So I'm going with Dez, Larry Fitz, and Jordy Nelson. Doesn't matter where you put him.
You know, and Larry Fitz, by the way, I don't want to get off the subject too much here, but he's. We've talked about Megatron, how you kind of have to put him in your lineup if he's playing.
Yep.
Larry Fitz, same thing. I mean, you know, he was hurt. He was banged up.
Yeah.
What did he do last week? 75-yard touchdown.
Exactly, and that's why you have to start your studs, because that could have easily been Megatron. That could have easily happened to any other player that was injured before the week. And, you know, you leave him on your bench, and then you look like a clown with all those points on your bench.
Tight end, who are you starting, Finley or Jared Cook?
Finley. And I don't like JerMichael Finley, but I expect him to get some more targets now that Randall Cobb's not in action. Let's see what Jared Poitkin can do.
So last thing for Chris J here, what's his team grade?
I love his receivers. And his running backs are doing really well right now, with Geo stepping up and Ridley starting to come on. If Doug Martin played like Doug Martin of last year, this team would be an A+, no brainer. Right now, I'm going to give it an A-.
I'm wondering if he could maybe after Romo lights up the Eagles this week, try to trade Romo.
Right, because Breeze is done on the bye, and he won't need Romo anymore. That's a good point, Todd.
Yeah, that's the one thing I would do. We like your team. We give it a good grade. Pretty deep, too. Looking pretty good.
He can upgrade a tight end.
Yeah, that's true. Upgrade a tight end. That's your weakness.
Yep.
But I would, and your ridiculous strength is a quarterback, I think. So I would try to get rid of Romo after this week. I think he'll have a good week against the Eagles. He'll be hot property, hot commodity. So try to dangle him after this week and then ride Breeze the rest of the way.
Okay.
Next email, Bill, is from James.
Hey, James.
He needs help to get back on track, Bill.
Uh-oh.
He needs help. He's 2-4. Ooh. He's been listening to us since the beginning of the season, and he was 0-4 through 4 weeks, but he won the last 2 weeks.
Nice.
All right, so he's coming back. Standard 10-team league. Here's his starting lineup. He wants to know, who should he start as his number two wide receiver in flex option? He's got Demaryius Thomas in as his wide receiver one. So his wide receiver two is either DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, or Keenan Allen. Non-PPR, who would you start of those three guys?
I'm not starting Keenan Allen in non-PPR. So that rules him out. So it's between Garçon and DeSean Jackson. I like the matchup for DeSean. For Garçon, he's playing against the Bears a little bit worse. So I'm going to go with DeSean, ride him while he's hot. Nick Foles looking pretty good. Again, non-PPR, so I'm going to go with DeSean Jackson there. And then, what is it, a flex?
Yeah, so his flex is of the same guys we just talked about.
Alfred Morris.
Or you can play a running back, Alfred Morris.
I would go with Alfred Morris. I mean, we saw with Brandon Jacobs to the Bears defensive line and linebackers. I have no problem suggesting go with Alfred Morris.
Alfred Morris over Eddie Lacy.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Higgins and Hopkintown. Bill.
Higgins.
I had a horrible week.
Oh, no.
Most players scored under 10 points, including Ray Rice, Calvin Johnson, Andrew Luck, Torrey Smith, Alshon Jeffrey. Ugh. Standard league questions. What do I do with my wide receivers? Do I drop Torrey Smith, Alshon, or Danny Amendola for Blackman or Percy Harvin? So, Bill, Blackman is out there.
Yeah.
Would you drop either Torrey Smith, Alshon Jeffrey, or Danny Amendola for them? Standard league question.
Torrey Smith, Alshon Jeffrey, Amendola. I'm not dropping Amendola. Standard scoring, not PPR. I might drop Alshon Jeffrey or Amendola for Blackman.
I would as well. I mean, you got to pick up Blackman. Percy Harvin, I wouldn't deal with yet. I like his options. You know what I mean? Do you think Percy Harvin would be a huge upgrade over Alshon Jeffrey?
Yes.
Right now?
No, not right now. Percy Harvin's not playing.
Right now, would you drop Alshon Jeffrey for Percy Harvin?
No.
All right, well, that's his question.
Oh, next. Blackman or... Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, I would go after Blackman. I would probably drop Jeffrey.
Okay.
Or Amendola. I mean, we don't know how serious Amendola's injury. It could be just a one-week thing, or it could be a multi-week thing. Kevin, you haven't heard anything yet, right?
I haven't heard a thing yet.
All right, thanks for nothing.
Bill, he's tough on Kevin, man.
I don't know what he wants from me.
I want you to have some inside access. You're up there in Gillette Stadium. You keep your ear to the locker room.
Yeah, all the doctors come by and they just be like, yeah, they give me the updates, you know.
I mean, that would be nice. It would help us have a little bit of a better show.
It would help me be better at fantasy, too.
Exactly. That's the kind of secret knowledge that we want before Adam Schefter gets it, and he gets it wrong half the time anyway.
All right,
at least tell me the information and I'll get it right instead of just guessing and getting it wrong.
Shots all around here.
I mean, anyone can guess and you're right 50% of the time.
Fire in the hole.
There we go.
Unicorns, where's the beef?
Let's get some work in.
You should just say random stuff, Bill.
I'm going to start doing that. But, you know, if I start saying random stuff, you know, something bad's going to come out. Like, I'll curse or I'll say something perverted, or you know, I can't be saying random stuff.
Has that stuff written down, like in front of him, like on a note card?
I don't know.
And he just goes to it, like whenever they score a touchdown, he just pulls up the note card and he just.
I hope not, because that's taking away from that. Just makes it even more ridiculous.
Show ponies!
You know, if he does have some kind of note card, that makes it even more ridiculous. Because at one point in his day, when he was even minded and level headed, he thought that saying those phrases was actually a good idea. So I certainly hope he didn't have a note card.
Can you imagine he's writing like this?
Where's the beef?
Yeah, like...
He's writing, and he's like, how do I spell unicorn?
Yeah, I just, you know.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
Hey. All right, back to Higgins, Bill.
Higgins.
He benched Megatron last week. Yes, he benched him.
That's what he said,
should
too.
I play him this week, he says.
Listen, Higgins, I don't know. Let's see if he's healthy. Let's see if he practices. I mean, it's only Tuesday.
All right. Should he take a chance on Willis McGahee and his flex, or should he go with one of the wide receivers listed above? Torrey Smith, Alshon Jeffery. Blackman. If he picks up Blackman.
I would go with Blackman over McGahee, but if he doesn't get Blackman, I would go with McGahee over Jeffery.
But Torrey Smith?
Well, Torrey Smith is in.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm assuming that Torrey Smith and Calvin Johnson are his receivers this week. Right?
Okay. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Next email is from Pratt in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
All right.
He had called earlier, but he had to drop. He didn't want to talk to Kevin, so he had to drop the line.
You know, Kevin, I'm getting a lot of emails from some of our audience members saying that you're very rude on the phone when you pick up. You're not nice to any
really?
Of the people that are... Yeah. What is going on?
I forward the emails.
I'm getting the emails from Twitter. They're tweeting me.
You can't get emails on Twitter.
I'm getting them. They're sending them.
No, I ask them, where are you from? What's your name? Where are you from? And how many teams in your league? And a lot of the times they're like, oh, what are you talking about? It's like, dude, put down the crack pipe. Crawl out of your mom's basement.
See the light of day
every once in a while.
And you know why? And this is why we didn't get any callers today, because you're
probably
so rude to them.
They're all glued to the blackout, the Red Sox blackout.
The Red Sox. Is that game back on yet?
Yeah, either that or they're sniffing glue half the time. Who knows?
Is that game happening?
Game is scoreless in the bottom of the fifth inning.
Ah. Yeah. Okay.
Exciting. So riveting. Awesome game. Can't wait.
It actually is. It's a pitcher's duel here. We only
have
three
hits in the game.
That
must be a lot of fun, just seeing people strike out and then the batter stepping out of the box after every pitch, changing his gloves, spitting, hitting the bat on his feet, changing his hat, fixing his jersey.
Yeah, there's been a lot of strikeouts.
Takes 10 minutes to get one pitch.
It's actually moved pretty quickly, though.
Terrible.
Now that we have power back on.
Yeah. Don't get me started on
baseball. Todd, do you like baseball?
No.
No? None of you guys like baseball?
No.
That's all right.
Not into it, man.
I just don't have the attention span to pay attention to one inning, let alone nine in one game.
That's understandable.
Let alone 182 in one season.
That's 162, but that's okay. That's
whatever.
Understandable.
I just can't. I can't do it. I just
it's
can't
still
do
very
it.
Angry.
And that's okay. That's okay. I just like all it.
Right. You like it more than football?
No. I didn't say that. But it's I have a really hard time different. I think football is my favorite sport, but I have a really hard time. People always ask me, like, I love hockey, I love basketball, I love them all pretty equally. So, I love golf too. So
I mean, you can watch golf?
Oh, all day.
No.
All day. Love playing it too.
I like playing because, you know, you drive around in the car and drink some beer.
A nice cold beer, watch some golf on CBS on a Sunday afternoon.
Nothing is more boring.
You gotta love it.
I actually think I'd rather watch NASCAR.
Now, that is one I can't get on board with, but
I'd rather watch other people fish than watch other people play golf.
I like to fish, but I wouldn't watch fishing.
Well, these are just things that
I'm
saying.
So you're finding things that I wouldn't do, so that's good.
A tradition unlike any other.
Gotta love the Masters. Ugh.
Jim Nance here. All right, back to the emails. What do we got?
Pratt wants to know, should he trade away Harry Douglas for Bilal Powell? Now, here are his wide receivers, Billy. It's Brandon Marshall, Danny Amendola, Hakeem Nicks, Mike Wallace, Keenan Allen, and Harry Douglas. His running backs, he's got Gore, Jamal Charles, the law firm, Woodhead, and Ridley. To me, this really is a non-trade. I wouldn't do this.
I don't mind. You know, I don't know how many he starts, how many wide receivers he starts, but Brandon Marshall, Hakeem Nicks, and Keenan Allen, plus you throw in Mike Wallace, you know, he's not going to use Harry Douglas. And to get Bilal Powell, I think is a good move because Mike Goodson's hurt. Chris Ivory's hurt. Mike Goodson's done for the year, I think. So I would go get Bilal Powell.
I wouldn't.
You would keep Harry Douglas?
Why not?
All right. When are you going to put him in your lineup?
When are you going to put Bilal Powell in your lineup? You got Frank Gore, Jamal Charles, and Ridley Woodhead.
You can always use depth at running back.
I don't know. Hakeem Nicks stinks. Danny Amendola never plays. If you get rid of Harry Douglas, then you're stuck with three receivers who play. Brandon Marshall, Mike Wallace, and Keenan Allen.
We're going to disagree on this one. I think it's a smart trade for him.
All right. Yeah. All right. Next question is from Dan Bill. He has three kind of quick questions. First question.
We'll be the judge of that, Daniel. All
right. He's giving up Gio Bernard, Marquise Colston, Sam Bradford. In return, he's getting Arian Foster, Reggie Wayne, Ben Tate.
Do it.
He already did it. He wants to know the trade. Did he make out on the trade or not?
Yeah.
He got Arian Foster and Reggie Wayne. That's pretty good.
You're right.
I agree with you.
Gave up Bradford?
Who cares about Bradford? Colston's having a bad year. We love Gio, but Arian Foster's an upgrade over Gio.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's a good trade. Good job. Second question, different league, no flex option. What would you consider to be fair value for Trent Richardson? I officially can't afford to have his mediocre at best performances in my lineup while my head is still above water. I don't need to definitely make a move, just kind of trying to figure out what I could get for him. Like, what kind of player, Bill, could you get for Trent Richardson right now?
I'm not trading away Trent Richardson right now because he's at an all-time low.
Totally.
He hasn't done anything to make him worthy of getting a top 20 wide receiver, which is what you would want if you traded him away. You're not going to get Josh Gordon. You're not going to get Vincent Jackson. You're not going to even get Pierre Garçon at this point. You'd probably end up with, I don't know, a Steve Smith or a Dwayne Bowe or an Anquan Boldin or a Mike Wallace, and that's not what you want. You want to hold your water, pump your brakes, stay patient on Trent Richardson, wait for a good game to happen, and then you trade him.
All right. Third final question from Dan. He has Andrew Luck as his quarterback. He can pick up Nick Foles. Okay. If he were to do that, would you play Nick Foles this week over Luck?
No.
Okay, I agree. Okay. Don't go too crazy here.
No, exactly.
Andrew Luck against Denver, he should put up points, even if it's just in garbage time. Denver's defense stinks. And then Nick Foles against Dallas, we like him in that matchup, but not over Luck.
Exactly. All right,
that's it for Dan. Next one is Kat in Chicago. This is Katrina.
Why didn't Kat usually calls? I don't know why she didn't call today. Emailed. Flame. Very lame, Kat. Very lame. I guess because Kevin probably scared her.
He's scary. He's kind of creepy. Yeah. Would you want to talk to Kevin?
Kat's a scared little cat today.
Jeez. All right. Her first question for us is this. Is Justin Blackmon for real? Is he going to keep putting up starter-worthy numbers the rest of the season? I love him, but Jacksonville makes her doubt.
No, he's fine. Okay. Every week.
All right. Question number two. With Blackmon back in the lineup, is there any hope for MJD?
There sure is. I mean, he looked pretty good against Denver. for the first time, I actually watched McGahee this season, and I said to myself, he's running like MJD is capable of running. It's not just getting stopped at the line of scrimmage and falling forward. He was making moves. He was making cuts. He was making guys miss. He was breaking tackles. He was catching passes out of the backfield. So, again, MJD kind of looked like MJD. He didn't break out for that big yardage or that big gain, but I have a feeling that's coming down the pipe pretty soon.
All right. Her league, she starts two running backs and three receivers, no flex.
Okay.
Non-PPR. So you start two running backs, three receivers, no flex, non-PPR. She's trying to get Reggie Bush off of this other guy who has, like, a bunch of good running backs.
Okay.
All right? She's trying to get Reggie Bush, which is smart. I like that. Who does she give up? And I don't know if you have the email in front of you, but she lists her whole roster here. Obviously.
I'm going to give up. Well, she has Joique Bell. So I'm guessing the other guy needs receivers if he has good running backs.
He doesn't need running backs, that's for sure. Yeah.
I'm gonna give up non-PPR, right?
Yep.
DeSean Jackson and Zach Stacy.
Yep. I agree.
Or
Torrey Smith. And Zach Stacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
I agree. Her last question is Jared Cook. Any chance he takes off again? There's not much available on the tight end market.
You know, he led the team. He led the Rams in receiving yards this week, and I think he led them in catches as well. But I don't understand why Lance Kendricks is getting all these red zone targets. It's killing me. It's killing me. I just don't get it. But Jared Cook, I mean, what does she ask? Any chance he takes off again? Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's always a chance. But yeah. Like I said, he led the team in receiving. He just didn't get the red zone target, which pisses me off.
All right, next question. This is an easy one, Bill. David P. is asking, what should he do with Knowshon Moreno? All right. I don't know why he's asking it like this, because he's his third running back, but he doesn't totally trust him. For instance, this week he had 15 rushes for 42 yards, but he got the goal line carries. I love his output. I just would rather start Alfred Morris and Adrian Peterson. Should I consider trying to trade Knowshon for someone like Ray Rice or Doug Martin?
I would love to turn Knowshon and Thomas into a better wide receiver. Have pending trade out for Torrey Smith and Julius Thomas for Calvin Johnson. The player needs a tight end. Anyways, what do I think? What do I do with Knowshon? I mean,
I don't really.
I was a big proponent of selling Knowshon high because I didn't believe in him for the whole year. And here we are in week six, and he's a top five running back. Points. Do I think he finishes the year as a top 15 running back? No. So if you can go out and get yourself a Doug Martin, I would go ahead and do it. But keep in mind that you're giving him the player with the higher points, so try to get something a little bit more in return. I mean, pretend like you're doing this guy a favor. You're giving him the upgrade at running back, not the other way around, even though we know differently. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Next question is from Stephen W.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. He did a whole screenshot of his whole...
Yeah, I was hoping you weren't going to go to this one.
Yeah, we're going to have to pass on this one. this is not radio.
This screenshot has 50 players on it, and there's 4 defensive tackles, 5 defensive ends, 6 linebackers, 7 safeties. You know,
14 guys on his bench.
Right.
On top of that.
Right, I can't.
Yeah, we can't deal with it.
And then he asks, who should I be picking up for my tight end and kicker this week? I don't know who's available. He sends us his roster, but he doesn't send us who's available.
Where's the beef, buddy?
Where's the beef? Unicorns. He sent us a bunch of unicorns. Last email of the day, Chris from California. This is a guy email that you just read about the starting lineup. One of my buddies needs receivers desperately, and he is debating giving me Forte for 2 of these 3 guys, Fitz, Torrey Smith, and I guess it's James Jones at this point. Who would take Julio Jones? Jay Jones, James Jones. Fitz likely one of the 2. Should I do it? I got to go back and try to find Chris's email now, Todd. What was his original question?
I don't know.
Chris in California.
I got it. Here it is.
What does he say?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to respond to him personally.
Yeah, we have to put some thought into this.
Too much moving parts here.
Where's the beef?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you, you start talking about unicorns and the whole world goes to hell.
Kevin, did you want to finish the show with your lovely montage?
I can if you want to.
All right. Bill, let's do this. Let's say our closing thoughts. Kevin worked so hard
on
this
montage. By the way, Kat just emailed in again. I don't know if you guys got that one.
Yeah?
Yeah, did she say what a jerk you are on
the
phone?
No, she said I was a, quote, sweetie, so suck it, Bill.
How did she say that? She didn't even call in. How could she say you were a sweetie?
She calls into other shows.
And she doesn't call into ours?
No, she likes me.
That must mean that Todd's the creep.
What?
Yeah, let's blame Todd. I like that.
Let's
deflect attention off us, Bill. The two bald guys. Let's just deflect with our bald heads.
Good Lord.
You see how quickly I turned the page on that one, Kev?
Jeez.
I like it.
All right, closing thoughts and then Kevin's montage. I don't have any closing thoughts other than we'll be back here on Thursday.
Yeah, we'll be back here on Thursday. And I don't know. We just got to pay close attention to what the Zoe says every week now, Bill.
Now the whole world is listening.
Yeah, you're going to get more of them right here.
You have the national attention. And we want to thank all of our emailers, all of our callers. You can always hit us up on Twitter for your fantasy football advice, at FFChamps. Todd and I will be back on these airwaves on Tuesday for Football Nation, so we look forward to speaking to you then about Week 7 in the NFL. And with that, we're leaving you with Kevin's montage from the Patriots and Saints game.
So there's 1:13 to go. Still a puncher's chance for the Patriots, who trail the Saints by 4. Many of the seats here at Gillette Stadium now sit vacant. 70 yards to cover. No timeouts remaining. 1:13 on the clock. He has it. Retreats in the pocket. Steps up. Hit as he releases downfield. Catch by Edelman. Holds on with a jarring hit.
Here's
at the 47-yard line. Julian Edelman made the grab across the middle. 55 seconds on the clock and counting. Two receivers right, two to the left. Brady off the shotgun step. Steps up. Throws down the middle. Catch made by Austin Collie. Moves upfield. Sliding down at the 31. 44 and 43 and 42 to the line of scrimmage. Brady under center, takes the snap, steps back, throws it out to the right. Aaron Dobson makes the grab, tries to get out of bounds, and Dobson is thrown out of bounds by Raphael Bush with 35 seconds to go. Fourth and four, Brady on the shotgun snap. Tom under pressure, throws it to the near side. Catch is made by Austin Collie. He's brought down at the 16-yard line.
Got
first down for the Pats. They've got to hurry to the line. Brady's under center with 10 seconds to go. Clocks it for the Patriots with a football just outside the New Orleans 17-yard line. Trailing 27-23. Brady's in the gun. Bolt into his left. Got the who man on the right wing with Dobson to the right. Collie and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He's got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
Brady's back! That's your quarterback! Pull off the building! Unicorns! Show ponies! Where's the beef?
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.